Corinthians. That's in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Good job. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Chapter number 3. Throughout this entire week, if our only message was the fact that you are a sinner, that you are upside down, that your life is a mess, and guess what? The older you get, the more you live, it's not like things are going to start getting better. It's not like, okay, I figured out this sin problem. Now I'm not going to be a sinner anymore. I'm done with that. No, that it only gets worse. It only becomes more confusing. It only becomes more of a burden to bear the older you get, this whole thing of being a sinner and being upside down. If that was the entire message, that'd be pretty sad, wouldn't it? That would be probably the most depressing VBS that was ever recorded. But we talked about the fact that Jesus is the only one who can turn you right side up. Turn you right side up. If you have 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 17. If you don't have it, just look with me. Or listen. It says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Liberty. To think about you in your sinful state. How many of you have brothers and sisters and you say, "Oh, Brother AJ, there are times I have struggled loving my brother or my sister." I say, oh yeah, my hand's in the air too. I love my brother. There's nothing on this planet that I wouldn't do for my brother. But there were times, growing up especially, he's only less than 2 years younger than me, there were times I wanted to dent his head. And there were times where I might have accidentally dented his head. And then I had sisters. And sisters were even, they were okay. They were all right. Except for whenever Dad was around, because they were obviously the spoiled, rotten brats. Men, can I get a witness? Amen, Nima, something? Right. No, girl, I know it goes both ways. There were times, listen, whenever it was hard to love my sibling. It was hard to love somebody that did wrong to me. But listen, despite the fact that even a brother and a sister can be hard to love, we were so much worse to God. We have offended God. We have fallen short of God. But despite that fact, God still loved us. God knows and He has always known every single thing about you, but He still loves you? That's amazing. That's something that our brains cannot comprehend. The fact that He still wants to take your life that is upside down and turn it right side up. You know, this whole business of the Lord being involved in turning people's lives right side up, of making them right with Him, that's not a new thing. That's not something that, well, now that we have church in the 21st century, we've come to the conclusion of, no, this is not something that's new. It's been happening for thousands of years. Back all the way in Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3, God promised there would be a Messiah, there would be a Savior, there would be somebody who would come and would take your life that is upside down and turn it right side up. You're saying, "Brother AJ, that's at the very beginning of the Bible." I know, from the very beginning, that was God's plan. That was God's plan. But it hasn't always been super clear what it was going to look like, right? Jesus came about, kind of have to guesstimate here, but about 2,000 years ago. That's whenever Jesus came on this earth. But there was a long time before that, before Jesus ever even came. So here's what it looked like. If I was to illustrate it tonight, if I were to try to show you what it looked like, come on. Essentially, in Genesis chapter number 3, Jesus promised, He said, there is going to be a Messiah. There is going to be a Savior. There's going to be somebody who is going to come and save you from your sins. But He didn't give every single detail right at the very beginning. So imagine if you were in the book of Genesis. Imagine if you were in the Garden of Eden. And God said that, listen, there's somebody that's going to be coming. There's somebody that's going to come and save you from your sins. The children of Israel, remember we talked about them, the children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the children of Israel knew that there was somebody coming, but they didn't know what He was going to look like. So under the veil, this is what the Bible calls a veil, it's basically like a sheet, a covering, under the veil they thought, oh, under here This is going to be our Savior. This is going to be our King, our Messiah. He's going to come and He's going to squash our enemies. He's going to win the victory that we've always struggled to have. But that can also be kind of scary. I mean, what's He look like under there? Does He have fangs? Does He have big muscles? We know it's a man, so we're not wondering if there's a girl under there. We know it's a man, but what does He look like? Does he have a mustache? Does He have crossed eyes? Is he weird looking? Does He have big teeth? We have no idea. And for thousands of years, listen, for 4,000 years, everybody that knew the Messiah was coming was saying, well, there's somebody coming. There's somebody that's going to come and save us from our sins. And listen, before you got saved, this is exactly what it was like in your life. Before you came and you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, listen, you may have come to church and you say, Brother AJ, I've heard the stories. I know about Noah and the ark, and I know about Daniel in the lion's den. I know about David throwing a stone and killing Goliath. But before you know Jesus, it's like He's covered. It's like He's hidden. It's like there's this great mystery. There's this great mystery under here of, I see it. I can make out some of the shape. I can make out some of the form, but I don't really know Him. I don't really know Him. This group called the Pharisees, the children of Israel, by and large, they were blinded. They were so stuck on what we call the law, on the laws and the rules that God gave them, that whenever Jesus came, they couldn't even recognize Him for who He was. For who He was. But listen, if you are saved here tonight, you know Jesus personally. It's different than knowing of someone. The president of the United States right now is Donald Trump. I know of Donald Trump, but I have not met Donald Trump. My brother has met Donald Trump. He was at the airport and they met each other. But even then, he doesn't really know Him. He doesn't spend time with Donald Trump. And for me, it's even less. For me, it's even less. If you're not saved in here tonight, there's this great mystery. And we've talked about all week long the fact that you are lost, the fact that you are a sinner, the fact that there is only one person who can turn your life right side up. And if you haven't got that settled yet, if you're still on the fence or you're still trusting in yourself, trusting in the fact that, oh, well, there's time. Oh, well, there's something. I'll make that decision later on. Listen, tonight is the night to get that right. Today is the day to get saved. Because verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And listen, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. Now all of a sudden, there's a face. There's details. You say, oh, I recognize Him. I know Him. Listen, this veil of I don't really know what's underneath, there's something scary, there's something that's intimidating, there's something that's unknown there. Once the Spirit of the Lord comes in, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank you, Jacob. You can sit down. Listen, once you get saved, once you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, the Bible says there is liberty. There is freedom. And it looks like this. If I never have 10 cents in my bank account, it's okay. Because someday, I'm going to a place where their streets are made of gold. Well, what are you going to do, Brother? I'm going to put some in my pocket. Now, at that point, I won't even care. And so it doesn't really matter how much money I have on this earth. That's freedom. That's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. What if something happened tonight and Mount Rainier blew up? You'd say, oh, that's a bummer, because we are gone. But really, if you're saved, the worst thing that could happen is that you die and you go to heaven. That's liberty. That's freedom. That there is freedom, there is liberty in knowing that your heart is right with God. In knowing that this upside down condition, this sin condition that we've been in our entire lives is now made right side up. The Bible says that is liberty. That is freedom. You know, people struggle their entire lives, sometimes wondering, what is God's will for my life? What is the will of God for my life? And then they stress over it, and they worry, and they worry, and they think about it. And they think about it until they are stressed out. Listen, I know every single person in this room, even if I don't know your name, I know God's will for your life. For $1,000, I'll tell you right now. Actually, here it is. If you're not saved, God's will, number one, is that you get saved. That's the first step. There's no moving on past that. The God's will for your life, if you have not trusted Him, is that you come forward, or whatever the situation is, wherever it is, whether it's at home, whether it's with your parents, His will is that you trust Him for salvation. If you say, Brother AJ, I've done that. Brother AJ, I have trusted Him. I know I have called upon Him to be my Savior. He has forgiven me of my sins. Then I still know His will for your life. His will for your life is to make you look exactly like Jesus. To make you exactly like Jesus. Remember the very beginning of the week, we said there was one person. There was one person who was perfect. There was one person who was the absolute example of what God wanted us to be. The reason that we know we're not right with God is because we're over there. But Jesus was God's Son. Jesus is God's Son. He was perfect. And if you've trusted Him, God's will for your life is to make you look exactly like Jesus. And listen, that's why this verse, whenever it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The next verse, we don't have a whole lot of time to dive into all the details here, but it says, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. You know what that means? Once you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you open up His Word, guess who you're going to hear from? Jesus. Whenever the pastor is up here and he's preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, guess who you're going to hear from? Jesus. Whenever you go into Sunday school Sunday morning and God's Word is open and it's being taught to you, you're going to hear from Jesus. And listen, that word, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, it's like looking into a mirror. And what God's going to do is He says, listen, this is what my Word says. And you're going to see yourself and you say, okay, that's like Jesus. That's what Jesus wants me to look like. And some of you may be saying, oh, Brother AJ, I've seen pictures of Jesus. He always has the long hair and he's looking up to heaven and he's wearing a white robe. That's what God wants me to look like? No. No, here's what it means. Whenever God wants you to look just like Jesus, it means that what you say is what Jesus would say. It means that the way you treat your friends is the way Jesus would treat His friends. It means that whenever you go out and you interact or you spend time with your family, with your parents, you do and you say and you act the way Jesus would act. You know what that does? That is God changing you and turning you right side up continually. And I love the fact that it's not a one-time thing. Because we could get so discouraged in thinking, Brother AJ, I'm saved, but I keep sinning. I'm saved, but I keep going back to my sin and back to my sin and back to my sin. Listen, God saved you, but you still live in this body of flesh. Your flesh can still sin, but now there is liberty to come to God and say, Lord, I've messed up again. And you know what He does again and again and again? He cleanses us. He washes us from our sins. And now your life, more and more and more, is going to be today, tomorrow. If you live to be 110 years old, for 110 years, God's going to be changing you and changing you and changing you to look more and more like Jesus. You say, Brother AJ, there's this kid I want to punch in the face. Would Jesus punch him in the face? Or these words that are coming out of my mouth. Listen, you don't have to become a teenager to start speaking and saying dirty things and saying things that do not honor God and saying things that are completely opposite of what God wants you to say. It can start as a little kid. But is that what Jesus wants you to say? Is that what Jesus would say? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. And this entire week, even though we've had fun, even though there's been games, even though there's been crazy challenges between the adults, the entire goal here has to show you that your life is upside down. But Jesus can make it right side up. Listen, Wooden Valley Baptist Church would be changed. It would be on fire if kids, if 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 6th graders and high schoolers and adults alike would all choose to say, you know what? I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. He knows everything about me. I can trust Him. I'm going to look like Jesus. I'm going to act like Jesus. I'm going to do what Jesus tells me to do. I'm going to go where He tells me to go. I'm going to do with my hands what He told me to do with my hands. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And listen, you can trust Him. This is going to be the most amazing life you've ever experienced. This is going to be the most amazing life you can ever imagine if you simply say, I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do. I'm going to look like Jesus. You know, you can't do it by yourself. We fail every time. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where there's a heart that simply does this, says, Lord, I surrender. I will, with your help, live for you. His Spirit, who Jesus is, can live through you, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed,